and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
Happy New Year!
I'm Scott Maiman in Brisbane, Australia. Massive celebrations have been held across Australia to welcome in the new year. Thousands on beaches up and down the east coast. Fireworks on Sydney Harbour. The new year party is well underway.
And I'm Vicky Barker in London, where Big Ben will ring in the new year a few hours from now. With tensions over Gaza high, security is tight here and in New York, as WCBS TV's Alicia Reed tells us.
The NYPD is out in full force, manning the city on foot and in cruisers. Officers are also patrolling the subway system.
There's police everywhere on every corner.
Both uniformed and plainclothes officers will be out keeping revelers from all across the globe converging to watch the ball drop safe.
Safe and not shivering too much. National Weather Service forecaster Bob Orovec says the outlook in most of the big cities celebrating is pretty good.
New York City looks like it's going to be about 40 degrees at New Year's. Temperatures may be a little bit cooler in Boston in the mid-30s. If we go out farther west, San Francisco looks like temperatures will be a little milder, probably temperatures near 50 degrees.
A deadly confrontation in the Red Sea, where Yemeni Houthi rebels have been attacking Western cargo ships in a show of solidarity with Hamas.
The U.S. military says four vessels from Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen fired at the Maersk Hongzhou and got within meters of the container ship. Helicopters from nearby U.S. warships responded to a distress call and were attacked by the rebel vessels before sinking three of them in what officials described as self-defense. The crews were killed and the fourth boat fled the area.
The BBC's Shema Khalil. New figures obtained by CBS News show the U.S. is poised to see its biggest ever monthly influx of migrants, some 300,000. Hundreds landed in Chicago from Texas this morning. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson telling CBS's Face the Nation.
This is unsustainable. None of our local economies are positioned to be able to carry on such a mission. And what we have attempted to do is to create structure and some coordination around this humanitarian crisis.
Overseas, thousands of would-be revelers are trapped on the wrong side of the English Channel after flooding in a tunnel forced Eurostar to cancel all its trains between London and Paris yesterday.
So we're trying anything from buses, trains, other countries, and going around a different route. So it's quite frustrating. But yeah, hopefully we make it to our destination.
Eurostar trains are running again today, but they're sold out. And parts of the California coast are still being pounded by super high waves. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin voters could see some big changes in 2024 and beyond. Mike Mohn explains.
New political boundaries are expected based on a state Supreme Court ruling, while some pro-democracy organizers hope for a different way of choosing candidates. Last week's court decision resulted in current legislative maps drawn up by Republicans being tossed out over arguments they were unconstitutional. Researchers have long noted that Wisconsin has some of the most gerrymandered maps in the country. Bob Moline with the Western Wisconsin group Grow Action says he's happy with the outcome. He hopes the state takes things a step further by adopting Final Five voting.
It reduces the incentives that create those toxic, hate-filled campaign ads. It reduces the incentives that reward gridlock and extremism in our elections today.
The process essentially creates a nonpartisan primary, with the top five vote-getters moving on to the general election. In that second step, a ranked-choice-style system would be used. Analysts say a potential setback under this approach is voters not being able to discern between moderate and extreme candidates. As for redistricting changes, Moline says it wouldn't be surprising to see Republicans appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. But he says he's still hopeful Wisconsin voters will soon get a chance to cast their ballots under updated boundaries.
This is the best chance we have for truly fair maps, and it's the right process.
Policymakers have a couple of weeks to submit new maps that will be reviewed by court-appointed consultants. Republican leaders have insisted their methods in creating the maps were fair and legal. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the low 20s. New Year's Day, partly sunny with a high around 30. Partly cloudy Monday night, lows in the mid 20s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, high around 34. Partly sunny and upper 20s on Wednesday. That's Severe Studios weather.
Right now, it's 28.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Thanks for tuning in to the Todd Alba Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, letting you know that we're replaying Wednesday's show, where we interviewed Betty Hayes Baxter and her family about her impressively long and record-winning career as a dance instructor just outside Richland Center. Enjoy.
High atop State Street off the Capitol Square. We are live on location here in Richland Center, the home of WRCE, the hometown. Ladies and gentlemen, dial up Ethel Merman. We are here. It's Broadway in Southwest Wisconsin. We are here with some very, very special guests, and so happy that you've joined us here for hour number two. My friend, my mentor, and the world record holder for longest continual dance instructor in the world, Miss Betty Hayes Baxter. Betty, thanks so much for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's amazing. And her lovely daughter, a legend in dance in her own right, Cheryl Baxter Ratliff. Cheryl, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you for having us.
And your lovely husband, George, is sitting just off camera. So George is here and a great performer in his own right. And later on, for all, especially the younger folks, a very special appearance by none other than R5, the singer, songwriter, actor in his own right, Los Angeles and around the world. Your son, Ellington Ratliff, will be here as well.
He will.
Three generations of performance. So I said when I promoted this. This is the show I've been looking forward to the longest. Been on the air now a year and 4 months. This is the show I wanted. When I thought about doing this show, I'm like, this is the show I want to do. So I'm so happy to have you guys here.
So nice to be here.
Now, my sister is, she danced for you, Betty,
yes,
of course.
Yes.
And I saw Smith Holly, who also from Richland Center, I sent them a photo of the little set we attempted to do here. And my sister said, she said, it looks like the dance set from 1988.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
That's why I graduated. I said, well, look, I don't own a scrim. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm doing the best I can here.
I think it looks great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Really pretty. Well, Heather, you did a good job. Right.
For those that don't know, so I grew up here at Richland Center, and I never danced for Betty Proper, but I was your MC and your audio technician for about 17 years.
Right.
And it was so much fun. Betty, I just wanted to start off, for people who don't know you, how did you get into teaching dance? Well, what was it that said in your heart, your soul, your being, this is what I want to do?
Well, when my parents moved me out to Blue River from Milwaukee, where I had all my training, then I performed a lot. And so actually students came with their parents and asked me to start teaching. That's how I started.
So they asked you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They asked me. And so my mother had a building large enough that I built a studio there. And so then I started teaching when I was in high school.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And your mom actually played piano for those recitals, right?
Several years. Mm-hmm. She played all the music for the whole recital. Because I started with piano, and I've gone through everything, from piano to records to tapes and so forth. Now we're, heaven knows where we are now with all the music.
So what was there ever a time in your life where, even though you started teaching at a very young age, was there ever a time when you're like, well, this is a cool hobby, but I want to do something else? Or did you just know from the get-go?
Nope. And you know, that's a weird statement, because I thought not too long ago at my age, I look back and I thought, I'm so glad I did what I did. Yeah. And wouldn't it be terrible to be older and look back and say, I wished I hadn't done that?
Yeah.
But I never do. I'm glad I did what I did.
Well, you know, the old saying, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And it seems like you epitomize that.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, all the years I've known you, worked with you, I've never, honest to goodness, I've never heard you lose your temper, really. I've never heard you be, and you always have a smile. And you truly are doing what you love.
Yeah, I am. I am. That's why I'm still doing it.
and that's the great part. So let's get, I mean, we should tell people right up front, and thankfully you brought the award. Yes. This year, you were named as the longest continual dance instructor, not in Wisconsin, not in the United States, in the world. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is official. We have the plaque right here, the certificate. Quote, the longest career as a dance teacher, female, is 76 years, 53 days, achieved by Betty Hayes, USA, in Avoca, Wisconsin, the United States, as of the 26th of September, 2023. How about that? Congratulations. There we go. Let's dial up some applause. I mean, what? So Cheryl, you kind of helped take the lead on this, because people don't just go out and start looking for these. You have to apply, right?
You have to apply. You have to send them a whole list of things. So we found a pay stub from 1947. Can you believe that? So we had to send pay stubs. We had to send. She got a lot of those commemorative plaques from the government,
right?
From the, you know, Governor Knowles, for 20th, 40th, 60th. So I sent all that, and I sent newspaper clippings and old programs from every, you know,
since before five June, years.
Right? So we had to send all that. That took me 2 months, 3 months.
That's. I mean, most people would say, "Well, you know." 10 years, throw that stuff away. But I mean, you guys kept those.
Well, yes.
but
that's our secret.
But as it turns out, that's exactly what you needed to get. I mean, without that, you might not have gotten the award.
True. You have to really prove that you have 76 years and 53 days of continuous.
Right.
Now she's on to her 77.
That's 77. That's why, you're.
And she said she wanted to surprise me.
I did, but I couldn't. I had to dig through her house. I would have to sneak in the night and be looking for stuff. And I thought, I better just tell her. Plus help. Where are they all?
So Betty, when Cheryl said she was going to do this, did you think, well, yeah, it's in the bag? Or did you think, yeah, like, well,
I'm there. No, I thought, really? No. This is fun.
Well, world, right? Fun for her to do it,
but. But it's not going to happen, you know.
So when you found out that you had indeed been certified as the longest serving teacher, what did that feel like?
Oh my goodness, it felt like it was impossible. Like you said, you know, Wisconsin or the United States. But when they said the world, I mean, that was like the whole world.
The whole world. Because you think, I mean, look at me, you know, a lot of Russian ballets, you know, in Europe, you know, all these people teaching around the world.
I know.
And you've done it the longest.
And they checked thoroughly.
Yeah, they did. It took a while.
They're in London, of course, and they called back and forth to Cheryl, and they talked.
I had someone that was my person that would say.
And people had to approve everything she sent.
How long did it take from the time that you started applying until you actually found out?
Started in May, and we found out in September.
Wow. So, they are very thorough. They don't just give these things away in Cracker Jack boxes.
They do not.
They would call her at 2 in the morning, because that's London time.
Right. So you found out at 2 in the morning? Oh my! And you're in Los Angeles, so you're just...
My time, 2 in the morning.
So talk, Cheryl, a little bit. I mean, what was it like growing up with not only your mom, but your dad, who passed away a few years ago, Lee Baxter, who I knew well, who I actually, you know, he was still very much with us at the time, but Lee decided not to do the sound anymore. And I think Betty, was he still doing, he moved to cassettes, or was he still doing records or reel to reel back at your 41st? I can't remember. But you're like, well, Lee doesn't want to do it anymore. Well, you do it, because I worked here, worked at the radio station. Yeah,
right.
So you thought, well, you know, a kid that works the radio, he must be good at sound. Right. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. You know, I just didn't want to, like, disappoint you. You understand? Because I had gone to my sister's recitals. I knew this is a lot of pressure.
Was it DVDs when you got there, or do you remember?
It may have been CDs or cassettes.
Yeah. I mean, CDs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cassettes, yeah.
I think we were doing cassettes.
It was...
Well, you did a good job.
Wow.
No matter whether you knew
or
not what you were doing.
Move or did
a little bit. We for the actual recital, we kind of did one tape, then a backup tape, and you just had to stop it. But there are a couple of shows where the machinery messed up. I don't ever want to hear hot, hot, hot ever again.
That's right. It would go hot, and then it would stop.
Right. And the dancer, it was for the black light, so the costumes are all, like, you know, very neon, and then you shut the main lights off, and there's just, like, a black light that glows. Well, they were in the, I don't know, some frill, you know.
And they come out.
Right.
And then stop.
And they stop. And Betty
and then they go off.
And my head said, Betty, what is wrong?
That might be one time you heard her mad, though.
Never lost her temper, but all right. You know, irritated. I'll say irritated. What, Betty, looking back at all these recitals, so 76 recitals, is there something that really stands out where there was something unexpected happened that you just had to, like, make, you know, on the fly and make it happen?
Mm. Well, the lights fell once.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the whole light.
Yeah. Well, Jack Cecil was running it.
One of the cheap tones.
But that was.
Do you remember the
yes,
cheap tones?
Yes.
He was running the lights.
Wow.
But it was a spotlight.
It was a spotlight.
On a table.
Uh-huh.
At the Dodgeville Gym.
Yeah.
Dodgeville is another community just south of Richland, instead of just south of Wisconsin River.
Right.
For those that don't know.
And it started to tip.
And the whole thing went loudly.
Did you kind of see it go in slow motion?
Yeah. And then he got it back up. Uh-huh. So then he thought everything's fine. And then it went again, and then it went over.
But nobody was hurt.
And it was in the audience. I mean, it was
really?
Yeah, it was the spot. Backstage.
It was running from the backstage.
Behind the audience.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People might not know. Let me just check the time here. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to break. People might not, many people don't know. You started in Avoca. You ended up doing how many schools at the height? How many different
16.
Schools?
I was in 16 towns.
Wow.
Yeah, 16.
16 times.
Because people in the 40s and 50s did not drive.
Right.
So I went there. And on Saturday, I did two. And then I did two towns, Fenimore and Dodgeville, on Saturday. Yeah. So I had 7 schools in 1 week that I drove to.
That is.
And of course, one where I was living in Avoca.
And how many recitals in 1 year?
Oh, sometimes I'd have 5.
Wow.
And you know how long they are.
Well, and I know, I mean, for folks watching on Zoom or on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, this is one little kind of microcosm. I mean, this would this qualify, Betty, for, like, yep, behind the fairgrounds,
right.
You know, like, you know, I mean, this is like a portable Betty Hayes
right.
set,
right.
Right?
Yeah, but it's very nice.
Well,
very
but the point is,
very pretty.
But people don't know it. I mean, I've seen my nieces danced and there are not many schools that put the thought. I mean, some of these things. You work for Disney, Cheryl.
Right, and some of these things. She came out to see me dance on the Academy Awards 1 year,
yeah,
and she sat in the audience. I brought her to a rehearsal, dress rehearsal.
Uh-huh.
She sat and sketched the look of the Academy Awards, and
wow,
they brought it back, and somebody made it.
And you had some very talented people that worked on your sets, Mary McCarthy, Mary Lowe.
Oh,
there were a lot of other people over the years that just did phenomenal artistry, but it was your vision.
Right. And I know people would say, I go to other recitals, and they'd say, but nothing like yours, and that's a nice compliment.
Yeah. Well, it truly, if no one has ever seen one, it really is the cream of the crop, and it brings a bit of Broadway Hollywood to Southwest Wisconsin. So it's fantastic. Stay with us. We're going to have more with Betty and Cheryl, and also Ellington going to join us live from Los Angeles. And what do you think, Betty? Should we take a call or two?
Sure.
All right. Betty Hayes taking your calls in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. We are live on location in Richland Center at WRCE. It's the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks again for tuning into the Todd Allbaugh Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, letting you know that this is a pre-recorded episode. We're replaying Wednesday's show, where Todd interviewed Betty Hayes Baxter about her successful 77-year career as a dance instructor in Richland Center. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live here in Richland Center. It is a very special hour. A salute to Betty Hayes Baxter on her 77th year of continual dancing, setting the world record. And Betty, that's a song that I've heard a time or two at a Betty Hayes dance recital.
Yes, you did.
The finale.
Right?
It's usually the finale.
Yeah. It's a great one. And that's, I mean, again, your finales, you bring the entire company, how many people at a time on stage? 100 or more?
200. Oh, goodness. Yes. Oh, yes. 300.
Wow.
That's just finale.
That's just incredible. So, Cheryl, let's go back. And again, Cheryl Baxter Ratliff is the daughter of Betty Hayes. And growing up with your mom, who's the teacher, tell people a little bit about your dad, because to me, he was just kind of the soul that held it all together. He had the patience of Job.
You're right.
And what I remember when my sister was young is even before kids were dancing, quote unquote, Lee was helping them tumble and just learn their balance.
He would teach the tumbling because he learned that in the Navy, didn't he, Mom?
Right.
So they would get class with Mom, and then after class they would go and tumble. Yeah. On the little mats and learn handstands, headstands, you know, front rolls. My favorite thing about Dad is he loved to help with the tap class.
Yeah.
And so he'd line them up and make a game out of it. And so the first person had to do their shuffle ball change. And when they got it right, they could go to that side. If they had to work on it again, they went to the back and tried it again. And Dad would clap, you know. So I always remember. Or the Wobbling Goblin. That was my favorite. It's a Halloween song, the Wobbling Goblin. And they have to sneak up and scare somebody. So Dad would be in the corner pretending he was asleep with a cup of coffee. And he'd take papers and he'd have like confetti in the cup. So when they'd scare him, he'd go, ah! And then the confetti would fly and the kids would clap.
That's fantastic.
Yes, it was
your dad, his main job is a postal carrier, right?
Mailman. Yeah. We both would wake up. I'd go to school. Uh-huh. And then he would take, you know, drop me off at school. He'd go work. We'd come home, get Mom, and we'd go up to Richland Center by, what, 3 o'clock? Mm-hmm. Till what, midnight? 11?
Mm-hmm. 2.
Mm-hmm. Then we'd go home and she'd go sleep and we'd get up at 7 and do the same thing.
So what was it for you, Cheryl?
He really loved the kids.
He did.
He was an angel, like I say. I don't know a soul who had one bad thing to say about Lee Baxter.
Yeah.
He was just an amazing man that loved everyone.
And as you pointed out, he was the first Baxter on national television on the Ted Mack Show. You pointed that out to us.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Because he worked the Filipino
Because he worked the Filipino pole dance on the Ted Mack Show. For the Richland Center girls that were on the Ted Mack Show.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the Filipino pole dance.
So Cheryl, you grew up here, obviously, in Southwest Wisconsin.
Avoca.
At what point in your life did you say, you know, this is fun and Mom's done a great job, but there's something more. Like, I want to pursue this dream at a higher level.
I thought I was going to be a dance teacher. Mm-hmm. And when I was little, she would take me to Chicago. Well, all through my life till I was 18. Mm-hmm. We would go to Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, and we'd study at these big dance conventions. Yeah. And then these dance teachers would say, well, when are you moving to California? Or when are you moving to New York? And I'd say, you can make money being a dancer? I didn't know that.
Yes, because, I mean, you know, there are people that charge a lot more than you do, Betty. And you've always kept your rates, I would say, reasonable to keep dance accessible.
True.
I mean, that was a choice, right?
Yep.
You could charge a lot more.
Right. But I wanted everybody to be able to dance.
So, Cheryl, you're looking to say, look, Mom's working her rear end off, but she ain't getting filthy rich. But you can actually make a better, a larger living doing it at a higher professional in a bigger city.
And then we grew up watching Gene Kelly and watching Fred Astaire. And so I thought, oh, I want to go to Hollywood and dance in movies. and dance on the Carol Burnett Show.
Yeah.
I got out there one year too late for Carol Burnett, but I still got movies and TV in.
You have. And you've had a phenomenal career, still working, still teaching out in Los Angeles. Betty, what was it like for you and Lee when Cheryl said, look, I want to go there? Was there any regret that, oh, I wish you'd stay here and take over the dance school? Or was it like, you know, we got to let her spread her wings?
Yeah. She had to go. As sad as it was to take her to LA at 20 years old and leave her there and come home. But then I trained her to do that. So then I said, you know, that's what she's training for. But if she'd have gone out there and waited table, that would have been different, but she never waited a table. She went out, got
right in. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No,
nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong, but it wasn't her dance. Yeah.
And so, but I did get to dance.
Right, and she got right in Xanadu right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big movie.
Gene Kelly, Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. So great. What was it like to dance with people that you'd seen on television and movies? You grew up in Wisconsin. To dance with these people, Cheryl.
I know. It was like a dream. Still is.
Yeah.
Like, she reminded me when I worked with Dick Van Dyke, I actually went to his house and taught him in his living room.
For those of those saw the CBS show last week, Dick Van Dyke just turned 98.
Right.
And here's Cheryl, sending out pictures on social media. Here's you and Betty, you know, with Dick Van Dyke for good. And you went to his house and taught him.
I did. And I choreographed his show, Diagnosis Murder. That's why.
I mean, these are legends that almost everybody knows. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know them. You know, I mean, and it all started in a little tiny town in Southwest Wisconsin.
And Gene Kelly was always my idol. And when she worked with him, that was just
he used to call me at home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he was going to have me go to Paris and teach the tap to the Paris opera ballet dancers. So he was trying to get me a visa to move over there.
Right.
Never got the visa because it was a government job. So they gave it to a Parisian, and Gene Kelly said, but it's tap. It's from America.
Yeah.
But so he called me at home, and Mom would say, can you audio tape that? Gene, speak up.
So Betty, your daughter here has worked with some of the biggest names in dance and entertainment. Your grandson went on to have one of the biggest bands, R5, with Disney, travels all over the world. I've known your family a long time. You're some of the most chill, normal people in the entire world with no ego. What do you attribute that to, Betty, that your daughter and your grandson have made it some of the highest levels of entertainment and are still just real people?
Well, that's the way we were brought up. That's it. I mean, you know, that's the way we were
Midwestern. We're Midwestern. Not that there's anything wrong with other parts of the state.
No, there's not.
But Midwestern.
But one of the things, Betty, that you taught me a long ago, I still take with me no matter. I'm back in broadcasting, but even when I was in other vocations, attention to detail, and if you're going to do it right.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you're doing it on a stage in a gym in Avoca, or whether you're doing it on a stage with Michael Jackson, or whether you're doing it on a worldwide tour with R5.
Right.
If you're going to do it right. And that's something I've always admired about the level of excellence that you demand from your students.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's a goal. That's true. That's very, very true. And that's the way I was trained in Milwaukee. And that's the way I train my students and my daughter, right?
How cool is it to see your daughter, your grandson now on some of these biggest stages of the world?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's worth all the hours and travels and miles. And I would take her to Chicago in the morning to
Gus Giordano.
Yeah, Gus Giordano school, and she would take a 2.5 hour class, and we would drive back home.
Wow!
In one day.
Wow!
And we did that often, and that's what you know.
And we went to New York every summer, so.
How cool is that? Well, stay tuned. We'll have a few calls for Betty and Cheryl and a very special appearance in the next segment by Ellington Ratliff, live from Los Angeles, California. Don't go anywhere. More Tom Ball Show ahead, live on location on the Civic Medium. Ready to know.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. As the world rings in the new year, law enforcement here at home's on alert for possible terror threats. WCBS-TV's Alicia Reed is in New York.
The FBI says there are no credible threats to the city, but law enforcement is prepared for crowds to pack Times Square.
You know you're safe in the city. You know you can enjoy yourself. You can have fun.
The U.S. military says it's responded to attacks on a cargo ship in the Red Sea. Lapika Pelhams with the BBC.
The Houthis fired at the crew on board and then attempted to even board the ship. And responding to their calls, the U.S. Navy helicopters then sank three of them and killed all the Houthis.
Border Patrol's on track to process more than 300,000 migrants this month, which would be an all-time monthly high. Denver Mayor Mike Johnston.
We need federal dollars to help support our work here in the cities. We also need federal dollars for more support at the border, the ability to adjudicate asylum claims more quickly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Packers battle the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Vikings tonight on Sunday Night Football. Both teams trying to keep their wild card playoff hopes alive, but another setback for Green Bay defensive back Eric Stokes. He's been placed on IR after suffering another hamstring injury. Backup safety Benny Sapp has been promoted to the 53-man roster. On this day, New Year's Eve 1967, the Packers beat the Cowboys 21-17 in the Ice Bowl, 13 degrees below zero at Lambeau Field. After the game, quarterback Bart Starr on just how slippery the field was.
We were having real poor footing down there, and we had some couple of good plays we felt in that situation. We couldn't put it in with those. The backs were sliding when they would start, and really we could run out of ideas. We didn't know what to do.
Starr scoring the winning touchdown on a quarterback sneak, and head coach Vince Lombardi asked about the game-winning drive.
We didn't do anything differently. We added one little play from the sidelines, and that was it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the low 20s. New Year's Day, partly sunny with a high around 30. Partly cloudy Monday night, lows in the mid 20s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, high around 34. Partly sunny and upper 20s on Wednesday. That's Severe Studios weather.
Right now, it's 28.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Todd Allbaugh Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, letting you know that this is a pre-recorded episode. We're replaying Wednesday's show where Todd interviewed Betty Hayes Baxter. about her successful 77-year career as a dance instructor in Richland Center. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and streaming on the Civic Media app. Welcome to our viewers on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as well. To a very special Todd Allball Show. We are live here on location at the studios of WRCE, one of our civic media stations in Southwood, my home station. So it's great to be back home here in the Driftless area. Wherever you are joining us, we appreciate you being here on a special live show. A salute to our friend, our mentor, the great Betty Hayes Baxter, dance legend here in Wisconsin. And really, there are people around the state and around the world that know you as well, Betty. So 77 years of dance, the Guinness Book of World Record holder. And here along with us is Cheryl Baxter Ratliff, her daughter as well, a dance legend, particularly in Los Angeles, worked for, give us some of the, just name drop a little bit. Some of the, I mean, you were at Disney a long time, did a lot
worked
of things
Disney,
for them.
I do a lot of Netflix shows now.
Do you really?
I played a dance teacher on Physical last year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I have a new one coming out that I can't talk about. Okay. I'll have to tell you about that later. And then I did the Muppet movie with Jason Segel. Oh, and I worked with Michael Jackson.
That's
on This Is It.
I mean, that's, yeah. what was that like to be on set with him?
It was amazing. Well, it was for his act.
Yeah.
His tour. So when he came in, he sat behind me for 8 hours and we picked his dancers.
Wow. That just had to be
It
amazing.
Was something.
I mean, it's a legend.
Yeah.
So, and your son, in his own right, has gone on to have some awfully darn big success. That music we played in there with was from the band R5, the song called Smile. And here, one of the members of R5, direct from Los Angeles, California, over StreamYard, Ellington Ratliff. Ellington, thanks so much for making time for us. I know you've been around the world lately touring. How the heck are you?
Good. Thank you for having me. And hey, Mima, how are you?
And your dad's sitting over in the corner.
Oh, hello. Yes, doing well. I'm doing well.
Now this is very important because, you know, we were talking about your grandpa over the last segment a little bit, Lee Baxter, and what a saint he was. I mean, we talked about some of the success of your grandma and your mom. Your dad's like, you know, don't forget me over here. I'm not chopped liver. So we should say that George has had a successful career in his own life.
George and I met in Sophisticated Ladies, which was a musical, Broadway musical with Gregory Hines and Nicholas Brothers. And we named Ellington after Duke Ellington. Because we met in the show. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I think you did.
But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. So, and he's been working at Universal, putting shows together for 20 years.
Do you have any current projects? What are you doing right now, George?
I'm his new project. He's just bringing me coffee.
And I went to 2019.
Wow.
Long time.
For those that can't hear, he's been doing this for 18 years, doing recording sessions, and worked a lot of big people in his own right.
Take us 4 months, and then we'd have a new show.
Yeah.
And that's, then we would start working on the next show.
That's fantastic. So Ellington, let me ask you, with grandparents like you have, Betty and Lee, and then having parents like you do, did you always want to be an entertainer at some level, or was there a certain instant in your life where it just kind of like popped, like, oh yeah, I want to do that?
I always joke that I came out of the womb with jazz hands, essentially. Like, you know, I, from as long as I can remember, I've been on stage. I've been, you know, performing at, grandma's dance recitals. And, you know, my first memories of being on stage are those recitals, so, you know, walking, getting carried around, tap dancing on stage, you know, things like that. And so, yeah, I definitely got early onset entertainment syndrome, I guess you could say.
So Betty, when George and Cheryl had a child, you're like, oh, there's another one. I mean, did you want to get him on stage right away? I mean, you could
Well, he just did. I mean, he was making commercials when he was very, very young, and right. I didn't have time to think of anything because he did it. He was doing it.
I do remember the 50th recital.
Yeah.
You were there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did the family dance. Yep. George, Mom, yep. Ellington, Lee. Yeah. Our dad, yeah. And so we did, we're family, me and you, and Ellington came out last in the at dress rehearsal. All the kids were in the audience, and Ellington kind of came out in the
wasn't
kids
he
class.
Three?
He was three. Yeah. And then he was like, oh, there's applause out there. And then he put his hand out and they'd applaud, and then he'd look out and they'd applaud. I said, uh-oh, he's been bitten by the applause bug.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, in fairness, Ellington, every show that I ever did, you know, when you were in it, you usually got the biggest applause of the night, generally speaking. So I think it was just ordained that you were going to go into this industry.
Yeah, it was the thing I could do. It was hopeless. I had no chance against it. You know?
So again, you've been to some of the biggest heights in entertainment, done very, very well with R5, and now a singer and songwriter in your own right. Are there things that you still remember that your grandma taught you in particular when you're on a large stage? You're like, oh yeah, grandma would want me to do it. You know, Betty approved.
Yes, I think this came from both my mom and my grandma. But you know, when things in entertainment industry, when things go wrong, you just sell it. And I've definitely had to use that advice a lot in my years being on the biggest stages. Sometimes something will go wrong, and you just have to learn how to call an audible, essentially.
The show must go on, right?
The show must go on. That's what it is, yeah.
Speaking of that, for those who don't know, before the last recital last year, you had a little fall.
Yeah.
And you're not shy about your age. You're 93.
Right.
You look fantastic. I mean, at least 20 years younger. But tell folks what happened and speak what Ellington just said. The show literally went on.
Yeah. Well, it was in my living room and my shoes just stuck and I just turned and down I went and broke my foot. And
call it the ballerina break.
It really
perfect.
Is. It really
they
is.
Did.
Yeah, yeah, wow. The fifth metatarsal. And that's what it's wow. called. Really, ballerina break.
Of course it is.
Whoever gets it. Whoever gets it. So as he said, I went on the stage anyway in a wheelchair.
We wrapped her foot in sequins.
Yeah, we wrapped it in sequins.
But here's the thing. You'd gotten a black eye in the fall.
Yeah.
Betty being the performer she always is, what'd you say?
Yeah.
You're not going on that way.
I look right. Both of my eyes.
So we got
black.
Our spangly glasses. And we all, rhinestone.
Right.
And we all wore them.
And all
I
the
ordered them for everyone.
So here.
The teachers.
All the teachers, right.
Yeah.
Because Betty usually comes out at intermission on these shows. And so you were not going to let the show stop. Nope. You went out, you covered up the black eye with sequins and dark glasses and everything. And Ellington, the show just, it doesn't matter whether you're R5 or whether you're Richland Center, the show must go on.
Right.
Exactly. That's what we always say over here at the Baxter Ratliff family.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. Keep it moving.
The show must go on.
So Ellington, are there any particular stories or just kind of growing up with either your grandma or your parents in show business? You're like, wow, people, you know, it'll be interesting for people to know this because most people don't know this. I'm not asking to divulge some secret, but they're just little things about show business that most people would never think about or things that go through your mind as a performer. Things you can share on the air, FCC approvable.
Mom, do you have anything that you have anything?
Oh, pass the
you took, well, you took my you took my story with the waving at the you know as, oh. as the informative moment of my entertainment childhood. Now I'm coming up blank with anything grandma related, but I'll think about it. I'm gonna get back to you. I'm gonna think hard.
So Ellington, what projects are you working on now? I know you've been promoting some stuff on social, but what are you, for those of your fans, what are you up to now?
I've been writing songs with my old band, which is now formed into a band called The Driver Era. So R5 has turned into The Driver Era for the last 5 years or so. And so I played a couple shows with them, and I've been writing all the new music that's coming out. And I'm playing with a band called New Hope Club, and we just played in Korea, which was crazy. Yeah. So
that's
busy,
cool.
Busy boy. I'm writing things for myself as well. You know, for those who want to check it out, it's under Ellington. There
on
you go.
Spotify.
Yeah,
Spotify.
Nice.
On all your streaming services.
Very good. Check it out, Ellington. Yeah. There it is. For people, I'm going to tell this quickly because I just so Lee, it was about 10 years. How long has Lee been gone? Or is it how
Lee,
long?
8 years.
8 years. Oh, so Lee passed away 8 years ago, and the whole family was here, obviously, and Ellington was there, and young girls in Southwest Wisconsin had to be taken aside and say, look, as you go through the visitation line, no, you cannot ask Ellington for his autograph at the visitation. I mean, what?
Dad would have loved it.
Is it a little surreal? Like, was it a little surreal to come back here and have these, you know, people just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, it's surreal. Any time. Yeah, I didn't know that story. That's very interesting.
Really? You didn't know that? Oh my gosh.
No, I didn't know that. I was,
mothers were taking girls aside and telling them this.
Because
because half of them wanted to go to the visitation just to see you.
That's so funny. Yeah, it is surreal because, you know, I think the same goes for mom, and like when she does things that are, you know, people find they're cool. It's just a part of what we do, I guess. And it's right. not, we don't really like, we come back to, you know, Avoca and we're just like, oh, we're just, you know, Wisconsinites in a way. So we're just, nothing's really different for us. We don't feel like we've done crazy things. We just do what we do. And we, you know, we always have that little small town spirit in us, you know.
And he did get to spend a lot of time in Avoca because I directed and choreographed Sesame Street Live for 20 years in Minneapolis. So mom and dad would go up and be with Ellington. And while I was working, Ellington and Elmo, I say.
Got to hang out with grandma, grandpa, and Elmo. So cool summers in Wisconsin.
So Ellington, I asked your grandma and your mom this in the last segment. I've known your family for a long time, and you and your mom and your dad have worked with some, and your grandma too, have worked some of the biggest names in show business entertainment, and yet you're one of the most chill, normal families I've ever met. There's no pretense, there's no arrogance. Do you find that with all the people you've toured with and worked with around the world at Disney? Is that common, or do you think it's something that kind of came from your grandparents and this grounding in the Midwest?
I will say it definitely came from the grounding in the Midwest. there are a fair share of people in the entertainment industry that have the same, you know, background. And I'll sometimes be like, are you from the Midwest? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, nah, I knew it. Yes. You can find it sometimes, but no, definitely. Yes, we have a lot of Midwest in us as well.
Although I raised him as a Packer fan, and now he's a Rams fan.
Well, you know.
And the Rams could knock the Packers out of the playoffs, you understand? It's a big race between the two teams.
Oh, interesting. I kind of fell off this year after they, you
know. George
is
an Eagles fan.
And George is an Eagles fan.
We have the whole thing.
We're a split household. I don't know how we get along.
We have East, West, and Midwest.
So Betty, a couple minutes left before the next break here. As you look back on your career, I know one of the things, there's this great article that was in the Wisconsin State Journal. I mean, I used to work for politicians. I mean, it does, above the fold, front page. I mean, any politician would, you know, give their left arm for something, this kind of media coverage. And, you know, here it is. And one of the things you talked about in the article, we can pick it up after the break if we have to, is, and I've seen you do this with young kids, is the lessons you teach them that many aren't getting at home today or even in schools. You're teaching these basic fundamentals of kindness, of patience. I mean, this is something you've been doing your whole career.
Right. And I know they will tell me how much self-confidence they got from dance as they were growing up and now in college or work or whatever, where they have to stand up and speak to the public. That they say that the dance has really helped them. Because we do that. We make them stand up one at a time, say their name, say different things that they like, alone, just alone, one at a time. And that really does help their self-confidence. And I try to make everything fun, but like you said, at the same time, we want them to learn correctly. Because they go on, like some of them have done, and they audition for Disney and Opryland, which was running at that time, and Great America, and all the places they audition to, they have to know what they're doing. And they do, and that's why they get jobs there.
And to me, Betty, that's something that you and your entire family, to me, as much as your legacy of entertainment, it's what you have given kids and people to take their whole life, the positivity, the self-confidence, how to just simply behave in public. I mean, that's your legacy, in my opinion.
Thank you. And I do hear that from especially the alumni that are coming back. You know,
what's the most generations you've taught one family?
Four.
Wow.
Four.
That just has to be incredible. And so you have brought like all three or four generations on stage before, right?
Recital. Oh, yes. Yeah. And four, three, and had two a long time, and then three a long time, and then last year I had four.
Betty Hayes Baxter, Cheryl Baxter Ratliff, and Ellington Ratliff, and George Ratliff in the wings here. He's doing the camera work a little bit. We're going to come back. One final segment. Don't go anywhere. Listen to R5 on the way out. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on location.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Todd Allball Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, letting you know that this is a pre-recorded episode. We're replaying Wednesday's show where Todd interviewed Betty Hayes Baxter about her successful 77-year career as a dance instructor in Richland Center. Enjoy.
On this special show, a salute to Betty Hayes Baxter on her 77th year. I don't know many people do anything for 77 years. Maybe live. Betty Hayes Baxter is here. Also, Cheryl Baxter Ratliff, Ellington Ratliff, live from Los Angeles, and George Ratliff in the... we said George, come on, but he's just, you know...
He's in the wing.
He's hanging out. He's in the wing. Betty, this has been such a treasure, but what you do... It is a life dedication. I mean, you've literally dedicated your life, not just again to dance, but to helping young people, to encouraging young people. And I truly believe there are people alive today that you gave them the worth to keep on living. And you did that. I want to thank you on behalf of everyone who has ever danced with you or for you or worked with you. You've changed the world. Through your daughter, your son-in-law, your grandson, you have made an impact in the world that few people ever do. And I just want to say thank you before time right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah.
Thank
you've made a difference in my life. I love you to death.
Thank you.
Ellington, any final memories from you just about your grandmother or about her career that you ever talk about her, like when you're on tour with people? Say, well, here's what my grandma does. You know, are there any grandma stories?
I think the funniest thing that I love about one thing that came to mind is like wherever you go in the world, there's somebody that's like, wait, Betty Hayes Baxter, the dance studio, like she just made her way like far and wide. You'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to my grandma's dance studio. Oh, you mean Betty? Like we even went to a restaurant like far away from Avoca, and they were like, oh yeah, Betty likes her coffee with a little sugar and cream. And I'm like, okay, like. Thanks.
Waiter, we went to Ellington. We went to the Rose Bowl, and somebody behind us said, "Oh, you're Betty. I know you. She was from Dodgeville."
Yeah.
We can't go anywhere without people not knowing Betty Hayes Baxter.
No.
Cheryl, anything in your long career that you and George have run into people, and something that you take with you that you learned from your mom and dad over the years?
Well, like Ellington said, you know, it's. Well, I feel the Midwestern kindness and how to treat people and how to teach. I really learned how to teach from my mom.
Yeah.
And how to, you know, get things out of people with kindness rather than, you know, banging them over the head.
And for those of our regular listeners, I was the one reject from the Betty Hayes School of Dance when I was a kid.
But what's happening now?
But now you've done this alumni class. Even though I'm only a tech alumni, you have graciously, you know, welcomed me in. So we do this Zoom dance class, my sister and some other people, alumni. And it's fair, and Cheryl teaches, and it's great. It's the best workout I get all.
And he's doing well,
yes,
too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Well, we try. We try. So I finally get to dance for Betty Hayes Baxter. So it's a great joy.
Every Monday night we have an alumni class if anyone else would like to join, right?
There you go. There you go.
There's my pitch.
Well, I think you know, 93 years and 77 years in dance and a world record, that deserves a little toast. So, you know, we George, come on over. We got a glass for you. Let's pass the glasses here. You know, Ellington, I'm sorry we can't send you one via mail.
Good, I'll grab one.
All right, fantastic. Ellington's going to grab a glass of something.
That's right.
A little beverage.
A little beverage.
Fantastic. Because you got to celebrate. You got to celebrate life, right?
That's right.
I want to say one thing, Todd.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm so glad. The other day I looked back and I thought to myself, wouldn't it be terrible at 93 years old, teaching 77 years, if I look back and thought, I wished I had not done this.
Right.
And how wonderful I look back and think, I'm so glad I did this.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. And just going for it, right? Right. Going for your, whatever they are. They might not be in dance. You might have a student that dances, but they want to do something. Whatever you believe in, whatever you're passionate about,
right.
Go for it.
Go for it. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
And I was shy when I was little. I didn't even want to get in the middle of Little Sally Saucer.
Really?
And Ellington was kind of shy as a child.
Really?
And I think we were both shy. And I think this brought out our personality and no fear.
Well, Betty Hayes Baxter, to 77 years in dance and for creating all this in Los Angeles and here and around the world, thank you for the legend you are and the legacy that you have given us. Thanks for keeping on dancing. Here's to Betty Hayes.
Here's to Mom.
Cheers. There you go.
Oh, Ellington just toasted in his.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Oh, it's your coffee.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's earlier out there.
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. You know, I mean, did you ever meet Carol? Did Carol Channing say that everything went better with champagne?
Right.
Did you ever meet her?
No. Oh, Carol Channing. Yeah.
I
have a picture with Carol in her big outfit. In her big Hello Dolly outfit.
Nobody you don't have a picture with, Cheryl.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
What was she like?
Oh, she was great. Yeah, she was funny. She's funny.
Really?
Very funny.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
very
so,
funny.
That's
dry
so,
sense
that's
of humor.
A corn thing?
Yes, George. Okay, George. That's why we keep him in the corner.
Yeah.
Ellington, any final words from LA before we end the show here?
Just want to say, so proud of you, Mima, and to many, many more years. Let's keep it going forever.
She's got another 77 in her.
I said, I always say, and they remind me that I say this, that I'm going to die with my tap shoes on, and if they're not on, somebody better see that they are.
Cheryl, final words from you.
I'm just proud of you, Mom. I'm just so proud. You know, and it shocks people when I say my mom is 93 and still teaching dance. And then right. I say she has the Guinness Book of World Records for longest career as a dance teacher. And people go, what? It's my line now. That's how I start my conversations.
Betty, we'll give you the last word. Any final thoughts?
Thank you, Todd. You've just done a fabulous job. All the scenery and everything.
Well, we appreciate you.
But I'm not surprised because that's the way you are. I'm not surprised.
Every detail, right? Every detail.
Either.
I learned it from you. I learned it from you, Betty. If I'm good at anything, I learned it from you.
So thank you so much for doing this. And, well, Cheryl, I just... blessed that she did all this. It was months and months of work. Yeah. Months and months of work.
Well, Betty, Cheryl, George, Ellington, thanks for making this happen. We really appreciate all of you.
Yep.
And I know your time together is valuable. So taking part of that to share it with all of our listeners.
And I want to say how proud I am of my daughter and my grandson and my grandson and my grandchild.
Right.
And your son-in-law.
There we go.
That person in the chair.
Betty is enjoying her champagne, you understand?
One sip.
Well, thank you guys so much. We really, really appreciate it. Congratulations on being the world record holder for longest dance teacher. And here's to 77 more. Betty Hayes Baxter, ladies and gentlemen. To Betty Hayes Baxter, Cheryl Baxter Ratliff, George Ratliff, and Ellington Ratliff. Thank you so much. Thanks for all of you for tuning in and listening. Stay tuned. Matt Flynn Direct is next. And go out with a little bang your drum. Because like we say every day, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do what Betty Hayes Baxter has done for 93 years. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.